My mom calls. Mama. She's crying. Mom, what's wrong?
I got the papers, she whispers.
And my heart breaks. I blink back tears, trying to hide them with my hair.
Oh, Sarah,
she says when she hears my sobs. I can't respond. My dad doesn't love my mom anymore. So many times he would kiss her in front of me. So many times he'd tell me, I love your mother. And so what does that mean? That he never loved her? Or that love goes away?
He's already signed, she explains. But I can't sign them.
I clear my throat and look around for an exit out of the train station. You can. I'll be here with you on the phone. I head upstairs and I try to find a quiet spot to talk to her, aware of the silence on the other end. I drop down onto a bench, encouraging her.
I'm here, Mom. I will never leave you, I promise.
A silent beat. And then
I signed. It's over.
The words, it's over, resound in me like a final bell. I burst out crying. She's crying, too.
Don't cry, Sarah. I'm crying for you, and for this total disappointment I feel.
Listen to me, Sarah, my mom says, raising her voice. Never, ever stop believing in love, despite this. Never stop believing in it. After I hang up the phone, I take a minute to try to collect myself before returning to the train station. By the time I board, I've cried oceans. When I arrive in Nolita, I find Bryn isn't home. I sit in our living room for a moment, staring at my hands. Fuck it. I grab my purse and my metro card and head back out, to the Upper East Side. I don't know why I crave to see him when he might be exactly what brings me to the same position my mother is in. Heartbroken. But there's something about this man that pulls me on a primitive level. To his strength, his confidence. I need it right now. Bad. And I could use the distraction. I wipe at my eyes and fix my face as much as possible on the train ride, so I am ready when I knock on his door. When he doesn't answer immediately, I knock over and over until I hear an exasperated yell.
Coming!
He yanks open the door with a moody frown, but when he spots me, his eyes widen and his eyebrows rise. He's wearing nothing but silk pajama pants and has what seems to be a script in his hands.
What's wrong?
He asks, pulling me inside with his free hand and leading me to the couch.
Everything? Nothing. I just wanted to see you.
I drop down on the couch, and when he sets the script aside, I curl into his chest and inhale him. He smells of a recent shower and spices, a scent I now associate with Ian Ford.
My mom just signed the divorce papers. It's over.
Don't cry again, Sarah. You're stronger than this.
I'm sorry.
Ian strokes his hand along the back of my head, his tone low and sad.
I don't know why. I can't wrap my head around.
I shake my head, wondering why it hurt so much when I knew it was coming. Did I think Dad would change his mind? That things would right themselves somehow? I think of Ian and his own marriage disappointment, and wonder how hard it has been for him. I lift my eyes to his and feel them blur again.
Why would someone do this to the person they love? My dad loved my mother. And your wife? I would never want anyone else but you. I would never even look at another guy the way I know I look at you. You didn't deserve what she did to you.
I'm emotional and I try to get a grip. Ian takes me by the wrists and pulls me to my feet.
What are you doing?
His arms come around me, and he starts moving.
I'm dancing with you.
He's holding me to his hard chest, moving side to side. Realizing what he's doing, I press my cheek to his chest and move with him. It's the most perfect thing anyone has ever done for me.
Thank you.
Don't mention it. Only way I know to cheer you up.
I laugh and let him twirl me out and pull me back to him, My spirit's lifting as my body releases all the stress and burden it's been carrying. How can he know me so well already? See? You know this about me. I narrow my gaze and stare up at him. His hair is disheveled after his recent bath, and I slide my fingers into it. And I don't know this about you. How would I cheer you up? He seems surprised, as if I'm a dope not to know better.
You cheer me up all the time.
How? I demand.
Hell, I don't know. You just do.
He shakes his head, a smile teasing the corner of his mouth. His eyes shift and fill with a curious deep longing. I'll film you, I decide, having a light bulb moment. Or film myself doing something for you, to cheer you up.
Just stand here. It's enough.
His voice roughens as he twirls me out, then back to nearly slam against his chest.
Or dance. Just like this.
A chuckle runs up his chest, and his arms envelop me again. We sway to and fro, slowly and without music, only to the rustle of our clothes, and it feels as if nothing can touch me but my suit. Audition Day. Sarah. I woke up nervous as hell, because today is that audition I found out about the same day my mom got the papers. I've been gnawing my nails to stubs at work, and Bryn scolded me when I was shuffling around the office like a nervous wreck. Sarah, my advice is, go easy on the coffee. And go walk. Get prepared. You won't be able to nail it when you're this nervous. Fine, I tell her saucily and tilt my chin up. I'll see if my dirty suit wants to help me figure out a good, effective method of relaxation. I haven't seen him since I bawled my eyes out and then danced in his arms, but I know he planned to stay home and read for the rest of the day and finish that script. He knows how to cheer me up and ease my nerves. He won't mind the distraction if I make a surprise visit, but I text him to be sure. Me. Are you interested in a quickie break while you read? Are you still home?
Him. Almost done. Still home.
I'm reading his reply when a new one comes in.
And interested.
Turning to mush with just those two words, I take a cab ride to the Upper East Side, pull out the key from its hiding place, which he showed me before I left, and walk inside. He's barking into the phone at the far end of the living area. His living area looks kick-ass with all his brand-new furniture. He's tie-less, the sleeves of his white shirt rolled up to his elbows, his top two buttons unbuttoned, his hair a little rumpled, a drink in his hand. He turns and spots me.
Right. As soon as possible, he barks into the phone and hangs up.
My stomach tumbles as I wonder if he was talking to his lawyer. About his divorce. I want to ask him, but at the same time I don't want to get in a funk before my audition. I can't stay long. I have an audition in less than 2 hours, I say as I approach. I take his drink and set it aside. His brows fly upward in surprise, and a wicked, wicked smile starts curving his lips as I reach out to grab the collar of his shirt. He reaches out to grab me by the hip and pulls me to his body, his hard wall of a body, and the delicious, shockingly big bulge pressing up against the zipper of his slacks. I groan at the feel of him and rub my fingers up his chest, wanting to feel him.
An audition?
He asks in interest. Sinking my teeth into my bottom lip as I smile, I incline my head in a small gesture of confirmation. He smiles down at me. A smile that tightens my sex muscles and my tummy.
I've gotta head back to work myself. I'll drive you.
He looks incredible. My hands are shaking, and I'm biting my lip as I run my hands up his chest. He eyes my little outfit with interest, tugging my blouse loose from the waistband of my khakis, and easing his hand beneath it. He runs his fingertips up my skin as I press myself closer to him, doing the same and running my fingertips under his shirt, too. Why are you smiling like that? I frown when he keeps smiling down at me.
I'm happy to see you. Is that wrong?
No. Heat frisons through me over the look in his eyes. It's good.
You're good. And this,
he sets a kiss on my lips, slow and thorough,
is better, he adds,
as he cups my ass in his hands and boosts me up. I twine my legs and arms around him, delighted when he sets me up on the bar top, pulling off my shoes and starts unbuttoning me.
I don't like it when you keep your clothes on. I like looking at you too much. I don't want anything between you and me, especially when we fuck.
You have a dirty mouth. I don't sound chiding, really, because I kind of like it, and I'm actually nibbling on it quite happily right now.
It's only dirty when it's not busy doing other more pleasurable things, like sucking your gorgeous tits.
He removes my bra and proceeds to suckle my tits, and I clench my legs around him and pull him closer. What other things can this wonderful mouth do? I whisper as I duck my head and cup his jaw, and when he stops twirling his tongue around my nipple, leaving it red and hard and sensitive, he kisses me on the mouth in the way that makes all my thoughts scatter.
It can go down on you. I warn you, though, if I like your taste, I'm going to go on for hours.
I already know he likes my taste, and that he can go on for hours and hours and hours. My breath hitches, my heart drumming in excitement in ways it drums only when I'm near him. He starts sliding down, and I panic when I remember my audition. Fisting my hands in his hair, I pull him back up. I don't have hours, you yummy man. I only have minutes to spare for you.
Then let's make the most of them, shall we?
He grabs my slacks and unbuttons them, pulling them off with a yank. My panties follow. And if I thought I was going to miss out from feeling his mouth between my thighs, oh my God. Oh my God. Groaning, my head arches back, because Ian just buried, his fucking mouth between my thighs, and oh, does he know how to work it? Twirl his tongue, use it to suck, lick, taste, fuck my sex in ways I've never been fucked before. I start to swivel my hips back and forth. I've always loved when guys went down on me, but some seem to prefer to only fuck. I suppose they want their dick getting all the action. But this man? Oh my goodness, he tastes me as if he's been waiting to taste me for a lifetime. As if I'm his favorite flavor, his favorite texture, his favorite scent, his favorite pleasure. If I don't get this interview, it's your fault for loosening me up too much, I tell him as he drives me to 43rd and 8th for my audition.
Sex is good for the nerves.
Sex is good before a nap, Ian, not before an audition.
Are you forgetting who did all the work?
It's hard work trying not to come too quickly when you're going down on me. I flush, and he stares darkly at me, hungry. I purse my lips and try to shake off the tugs in my stomach. Here, yummy motherfucker. I pull him across the car to kiss him and thank him for bringing me. Have fun filming garbage.
I will. I get off on it.
I cackle and step out of the car, walking away swishing my hips because I want to give him a little wood to remember me by. A woman who was entering the building pauses and looks directly at me before shifting her gaze to the car, where Ian sits, staring back at us.
Do you know Ian?
I hear her voice, but I'm distracted. It's a part I'm excited about, a story of a girl finding herself. And there are three leads, which means better odds of landing a part. Yes, I say, pulling myself from my thoughts and focusing on the woman in front of me.
Interesting.
How do you know him? I ask her.
We've crossed paths.
What is he to you? I feel possessive. I bristle. My boyfriend? I walk past her and open the door, thinking I've had the last word when I hear,
really?
He seems to think so. I turn back, give her a smile, and walk forward to get ready.
Cordelia, someone calls her. A call for you. It's your husband.
Oh, really? He doesn't have time to answer my calls? Well, now I don't have time to answer his. The thing about auditions is you're just not competing with others. You're competing with yourself. It doesn't matter what you have for breakfast and if it bloated you or that you may be catching a bug. You need to be the best version of yourself because these people don't want to settle and they see a lot. They know when you're settling and giving them a half-assed performance. I don't want to be half-assed or perform scared as if I'm going to break my ankle again. I plan to do it all the way, as if the guy watching me is my dirty workaholic and my life depends on him choosing me. Why does that thought make my stomach flip? Anyway, back to business. There are 48 of us, and we're all bloodthirsty for the part. Dancers can smell fear from a mile away, and so can the directors. From the top, one of the casting directors says. I took gymnastics when I was a girl. It helped my dancing in numerous ways, but it especially gave me the strength to backflip and do acrobatics that you'd never get from a normal dance class. It turns out to be an advantage for this casting, which requires some knowledge of gymnastics. After the auditions, the blonde I met by the door halts me with a curt, "You." She comes over, her regard making me tip my chin up a little higher. I've never been stared at by someone who is so blatantly angry during a casting before. "Your name?" She raises one brow. "Sarah."
"Sarah what?" she barks.
"Sarah Davies." She purses her lips and heads back to converse with the directors. They seem to be discussing their decisions intensely for 10 minutes.
"We're calling out the list of our final 10, the blonde Cordelia says.
The guy next to her begins reading names, and my stomach sinks when we get to number 10. And there's no Sarah Davies on the list. Crushed, I'm about to force myself to move my ass and get off the stage when the guy hesitates.
11, he says, looking me straight in the eye. "Sarah Davies."
What? My eyes widen. I made the finalists?
"From the top," he calls with a clap.
I'm exhausted by the time I'm done. Even my bones feel sore. This was an emotional challenge, but I head out and take off my dance shoes and toss them into my dance bag, feeling good about an audition for the first time since I broke my ankle. I'm supposed to be back here tomorrow. Please let this be it.
Ian. I'm livid with Cordelia for making this personal. Livid with life for letting Sarah end up here, a lamb wandering into a lion's den. You called her back to have her under your thumb. Don't tell me you don't know who she is, I bark at her, knowing full well what Cordelia has planned. But Sarah has no fucking clue that the show she's got her heart set on is none other than my wife's first full production under the company founded with my money. I know exactly who she is, and I know exactly why you like her. She's sort of sassy, Ian. I grit my teeth and pull my hair in frustration as I pace the living room of our house. What do you want, Cordelia? I'll keep her in the show. It's seriously all this girl wants. She'd pee in a bag if I asked her to. But I'll only give her a part if you forget about her and come home, Ian. Clean slate. I'm not in love with you anymore. I know. But you have feelings for this girl. I mean, come on, you drove her to the audition and kissed her like you wanted to eat her up. She laughs, not merrily. So if you don't do it for me, then do it for her. She raises her brows. I've endorsed your Broadway production company. You did, but it was your gift to me, and it's in the black now. No longer needing your contributions. I'm in full control. You fucked me over before. You think I'm going to let you fuck me over again? You're sadly mistaken. Ian, she rushes to stand before me. She's a young little thing. Excited. Think about it. I'll give her the part, if you give me another chance. I take a long, hard look at my almost ex-wife, wondering what I ever saw in her. There's greed in her eyes and very little in her heart to recommend her. Work may have destroyed our marriage, but my money destroyed you. I shake my head in warning, narrowing my eyes. She has talent. She'll get her big break, and if she doesn't, at least she wouldn't have sold her soul or someone else to get it. Think about it, Ian, she calls as I storm out of our West End home. You pretend you don't care, but let's see how you feel when she's devastated she lost the part, and you could have done something to help her. You're broken, Ian. I mean, let's be realistic. What can you offer her? I turn around and face her. Broken? I don't remember what that feels like. Not now that I have Sarah. I'm not. Not anymore, I say in full honesty. A shocked, bleak look crosses her features, as if I've slapped her. You can't care about anything but work. It's what you know you're good at. I shake my head. All these years. And you don't know me at all. I fling open the front door. I'll see you at Wahlberg's. And with that, I step out.
Finalists. Sarah. My second day auditioning, this time with the 11 finalists, and the bitch blonde was late to arrive. Now, she's been watching me dance up on stage with a pen in her lips and her eyes narrowed.
Wonderful job, everyone. We'll call you, one of the directors tells us after we finish the piece.
Exhaling as I step off the platform, I grab my duffel and change my dancing shoes for my sneakers.
Sarah?
I turn to see the blonde bitch. You are our top contender for the lead. Just wanted you to know. I blink, completely taken aback by the nearly blinding megawatt smile on her face. I am? The blonde continues giving me that winning smile. You are. I have it on the highest authority that you're in. I'm so mind-blown, I'm pretty sure my brain is about to explode as I head outside. I got the lead. I got the lead in a Broadway show. I step out onto the streets and feel like jumping, screaming, throwing myself to the ground, and kicking in glee. But of course I do none of that. I just pump my fist in the air and then try to compose myself as I head toward the train station. That's when I spot Becca crossing the street. Becca? What are you doing here? I'm roaming the streets, getting inspiration. You're crazy. Where are you even sleeping? I demand. Don't worry. I've got myself the best, most unbelievably hot roommate. Some guy who missed his flight, too. Turns out we know each other's families, and he's helping me get my muse. What guy? I ask, narrowing my eyes in suspicion over the twinkle in her eye. And that's when my gaze locks past her shoulder onto a figure behind her. A figure leaning against a black SUV. A figure in a suit. A figure I have touched, kissed, and licked. Ian Ford, my dirty workaholic film mogul extraordinaire, is standing there next to a dog. Next to Millie. My eyes widen. I head over. What are you doing here? Ian doesn't even break a sweat.
Mills misses you. You said you'd bring a replacement. Turns out today, I was it.
Ian. I laugh and chide him with a shake of my head, unable to keep my heart from backflipping. It's so bad of me to have done that to your gran.
That's all right. I already know how bad you are.
He opens the back passenger door of his SUV. Millie hops onto the seat, and Ian opens the front door for me.
You're worse. You look all serious, but I know how dirty you are, I whisper, going up on tiptoe to plant a kiss on his cheek. He lifts his head to Becca.
Shit, did I really forget she was standing there gaping?
Does your friend want a ride?
Becca, get over here. I wave her forward. Becca, this is Ian. She seems tongue-tied as they shake hands.
I don't need a ride, thank you.
She sounds all mousy and sweet with Ian, but then pulls me to the side and gives me a giddy, shocked death glare.
Bitch.
I know. I groan as I peek at Ian behind me.
He's taken, okay?
By you?
No. He's married, remember? But getting divorced. And I'm next. I kick her feet with a grin, then tell her, now tell me about this guy.
I can't. He's waiting for me.
She points across the street, where now it's my turn to gape at the figure leaning on a lamppost watching us. Tall and lean, with sandy messed-up hair, wearing jeans and a leather jacket, and a silver cuff around his wrist.
Who is he? I murmur. My hero. More like anti-hero. You'll read all about it in my book, if I can even get my bitch muse back.
She smirks and waves me off.
I'll be in touch, I promise.
She heads across the street to the gorgeous guy, who I almost suspect is some sort of movie star. He seems oddly familiar. Seeing him smirk at her as she reaches him, I watch them in curiosity while I walk back to the car and climb in the passenger seat. How's my favorite little pooch? I reach back and scratch behind Millie's ear. She licks my palm and I giggle, aware of my hot workaholic watching me with a smile on his lips. My whole body turns warm. I don't know if this casual dating thing is working for me. My feelings for my dirty workaholic have never been casual at all. Worrying about it, especially after what my mother went through, I'm concerned his wife may be going through the same pain, despite her being the one who betrayed him. I ache to know that it's over, so that I can feel more certain about Ian's interest in me. But I don't want my confused feelings for Ian to dampen my excitement, so I shake that out of my thoughts. How is your gran and the replacement I sent?
She's good. They're both good. But I promised I'd steal you away for an evening, and today seems as good a day as any.
I sigh happily and stroke the back of Millie's ear. I'm so glad to see you two.
Hard day?
Awful. But I made it. I grin. He tips my chin back.
Of course you did, he says,
his eyes gleaming with pride, and something else, something unreadable. His jaw squares as he squeezes it, turning his attention to the road. He stops me by my apartment so I can quickly shower and change out of my sweaty clothes. Then we head to Soho and have dinner with Mrs. Ford. During dessert, Mrs. Ford asks the most pressing question of all.
How is the divorce coming, Ian, dear?
Ian doesn't hesitate from shoving a forkful of apple pie into his mouth. He munches slowly, looking at her and then at me, as he swallows and chases it with some wine.
We should sign this month.
His dark eyes gleam at me. I feel the look all over, in my sex, my nipples, and somewhere deeper. I pull my gaze free and try not to make eye contact for the rest of the evening. I should be happy about his divorce coming through soon, but I'm sick of hearing it's coming, and still it's not here yet. What if it never comes? He drives me home that evening. The air between us crackles with mutual frustration.
Spit it out, he says as we leave Mrs. Ford's.
You spit it out. I just told you I got the part of my dreams, and you said nothing. Speaking of your upcoming divorce doesn't help my mood one bit. I sigh. I wanted to go back to his place and use his stupid toothpaste again. I know, crazy that doing stuff like that, sharing things with him, gets me off. But there it is. This man is making me lose it. And it's because I'm losing it that I told him I should go home and rest and wait for my call.
The producer of that show is my soon-to-be ex-wife.
What? I blink. Oh, wow. That blonde bitch from hell?
That's her.
I stare out the window. No wonder the blonde was such a bitch to me. She knows I'm fucking her husband. I feel sick, my stomach clutching as bile rises up my throat. And you knew, Ian?
I didn't know you were auditioning for her that first time. I found out today.
How did you find out?
She told me.
You still talk to her?
He shoots me a get real look. I haven't for a year. It's over.
This was different.
Why? I cry. I'm jealous and confused and distraught and emotional.
Because it was about you, he lashes.
Take me home.
I'm taking you to mine.
No, I said, take me home. I'm scowling now, enraged and needing some time to stew on my own. I thought it was over between you.
For me, it is. It's over, Sarah. But I'm afraid she'll make your life a living hell if you take this part.
I shoot him a frustrated, hopeless, angry look. I won't let that stop me. It's my shot, Ian.
He mumbles under his breath, shaking his head.
He drives the rest of the way in silence, and I ride, chewing my nails. It's only until he stops before my apartment, wedging his SUV in between the narrow streets and traffic, that I realize I don't have my apartment key. I think, fuck, I forgot my key.
His phone rings. Sorry, I've got to take this. He glances at the door of my building, which doesn't open without my key. Go inside, I'd rather you not freeze. Yeah? He barks.
I head toward the door and ring my apartment number as I text Bryn. Hey, I'm here. Forgot my key. No answer. Bitch, open up. I'm freezing my ass. That's so odd.
Behind me, I hear a groan and a moody, stop licking my balls. I'll stop by. You owe me big time.
He hangs up, and I hear loudly,
nothing?
I turn around. Nope. Run off. I can handle myself.
Out here in the cold.
Oh, I don't plan to be out here for long.
He heads over, exasperated.
She may be at the office. Or with her new boyfriend. I'll take care of it, I assure, sticking to my pride.
Ian glances up and blinks. Leave you out here in negative degree weather?
He ponders it and scowls at me.
Nope.
My teeth are chattering. His hand comes to grip my arm.
All right, sweetheart. Let's get back in the car.
No, really. Where are we going?
I'm taking you with me.
Where?
Change of plans. You can come.
What gave you the indication that I want to go to wherever it is you're going? He pauses and looks at me. When he finally speaks, his voice is whisper soft.
Don't do that.
He frowns and shakes his head. Do what?
You know what,
he growls under his breath. I stare past his shoulder as the cold wind slaps us both. He's frustrated.
I'm frustrated.
He spoke to his wife today, and I'm so jealous I can't see straight. I got the part of my dreams, and his wife is the producer. It's all messy and complicated, and I'm confused and scared. This dating cautiously thing is not working for me. I cannot stop thinking about him. I'm happy, too happy when I'm with him, so happy that I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, for him to tell me he still loves his wife, that he's going back to his wife. Maybe his wife even hopes for that. I mean, look at my mom. Everything went to hell. She'd have done anything to get my dad back. His wife knows more about him than I do. Like if he likes to play Monopoly naked in the middle of the night or something crazy. She has an edge, an advantage over me. What if she cooked his favorite meal when they talked, or wore his favorite color? And it makes me mad, because I want this man all to myself, and I don't know if I could bear it if he let me go. Will this end, leaving me to spend the rest of my life comparing every other guy to him? Crushed and wanting a man who wanted someone else a little more? But it's not his fault that I'm bad at this whole casual thing. It's not his fault that I want more. I sigh dejectedly. Where are we going?
It's Hilton's birthday.
Hilton?
One of my friends, the one we bumped into at the hotel the other day.
Is it proper for me to be going?
I don't care if it's proper. You're coming with me.
Club. Sarah. The club is sizzling when we arrive. It's on the lower floor of a modern structure encased in glass, invitation only, with tons of classy cars parked outside. All the young and rich in the city are present, without a doubt. I force myself to hold my head high. There are women in glittering white dresses, men in stunning black suits and black ties. I'm not dressed for the occasion.
And yet, you're easily the most stunning woman in the room, he says with a glance that reminds me of the way he made love to me very, very recently.
He introduces me to the friends that come to greet him.
This is Sarah.
His friends look at me in interest as they shake my hand and I shake theirs back. I can tell they're not used to seeing Ian with someone, or maybe with someone else, especially considering he's not yet divorced. I squirm uncomfortably, but Ian squeezes my hand and I exhale. The only way to survive the walk deeper into the room is to hone every bit of my attention, my senses, on the connection of our hands. My legs follow him inside. When we get deeper into the crowded room, the walls enclosing us flash with shimmering waterfalls and lights, synced to loud music. There are dancers in cages suspended from the ceiling, a fluorescent bar to the right, and a variety of lounge areas where tables greet you, leading into the massive dance floor where there's hardly room to dance among the moving bodies. Beyond the dance floor, more tables spread out as far as the eye can see. The backdrop is a stunning pair of velvet curtains, which are partly open to reveal a terrace outside. Ian talks to one of the guards and points toward the back. As he continues leading me through the crowd, he stops a waiter and orders us drinks. Ian greets a few friends on the way, and all the while, his hand holds mine, saying, "I got you." I feel safer than I thought I would. I trust him. I took a leap of faith, and I trust him. I wonder if he will ever trust me after having had a bad marriage. I vow to myself that somehow I'm going to win his trust and his loyalty, things a man like him must value. With the whole club circling around him, I realize he must not attend these sorts of events that often, because everyone is ecstatic to see him, men and women alike. I feel myself pulled to him like my anchor and my safety and my universe. And yes, there are 1,000 eyes inside this place, and 1,000 eyes were on Ian as soon as we walked in. I can feel the stares on me, bouncing from him to me, me to him. Every fantasy I've ever had of finding the right man for me, none of those included the environment. None of those included me feeling as if I don't quite fit. And yet how can it feel so right to stand beside him? The glances are frequent and almost too heavy to stand. I feel judged and vulnerable, but a lot of those stares, I begin to notice, aren't mean. They are curious, as though they want to know more, like why we are together. I'm trying to smile and act normal when a young hostess comes to assist us.
"Mr. Ford, would you like me to show you to your table?"
"Ian," the blonde guy we bumped into at the hotel a while ago calls.
"That's Hilton," Ian whispers in my ear, leading the way.
Hilton's date is giving me a frown, and Hilton is looking at me like he's seeing a vision.
"Well, well, well," Hilton says. "What are you having?"
He jerks his face to my empty hands. "Nothing strong enough," I admit, spreading my arms to show him I got nothing.
"How about Red Bull and vodka? Go straight to your head."
He nods in full recommendation, blue eyes twinkling naughtily. "I'm not having that. I want to be able to walk into my apartment, thank you."
"Yours or Ian's?" he grins.
I blush beet red and settle down in the corner of a banquette to leave room for Ian. Ian slaps his friend's back and wishes him a happy birthday. Alcohol is flowing freely, and so is the fun. There's humming laughter, clinking glasses, and shuffling dresses, and the pounding music coming from the crazy dance floor. I'm enjoying it, drinking it all in.
"You know Ian has three sides, don't you?" Hilton baits me. "His good side, his reckless side, and his side you don't want to see."
He leans over the lap of the girl sitting next to him.
You better thank your stars you didn't see him when that shit blew up, he warns.
My heart squishes in my chest. A female voice calls, Ian! A strawberry blonde comes up to him, flashing a white smile and looks up adoringly into his face. As the woman turns the full force of her charms on him, I want to be rational. He's the hottest thing in the room, and being here with me says he is available. But he's still got a wife. Ugh, this is not normal. But those women want a piece of my dirty workaholic, and I'm the greediest of them all. He stands to greet the woman, and other people slap his back. Then his dark eyes meet mine, and my heart swoons. I smile a little, but that's when I overhear Hilton's date complaining about me. Where did he find her? What does she have that's so special?
Haven't asked, but if you don't want to say sayonara to being a good friend of mine, you'd better be nice to Ian's girl, Hilton tells her.
Who says she's his official girl?
I don't know the specifics, but if you ask me, and I'm the birthday boy, she's his girl tonight, and by the way he keeps checking out where she's sitting, she'll be his girl tomorrow night, too. In fact, Loki and I have this little bet on how long it'll last. We don't remember Ford being this hooked on anyone for a long time, Hilton says.
I stand and head to the restroom, where I stare at myself in the mirror. Okay, breathe. You knew this would happen. Not everybody is going to be happy. It doesn't matter as long as you and Ian are okay. God, but I'd rather stick myself with a fork than endure those bitchy stares and complaints.
He's in the corner, but Cindy said he came in with someone, a waitress entering the restroom tells another as she enters a stall.
What? Who? The voice in the stall asks. Ducking my head after washing my hands, I head back outside and find a guy with curly brown hair at our table, sitting with a beautiful cougar, far older than him. She is openly staring at Ian's ass. Ian is standing near the table as if waiting for me. He smiles as I approach and lets me slide inside the booth, and only then does he slide back in next to me. Loud music pulses through the exotic room. Ian's familiar scent teases my nostrils and I relax a bit. I take a sip of my drink as we lean back, the loud music making it hard to talk. He's loyal to his friends, I can tell, because they look at him fondly. And that's why he's here. But he's got his hand on my thigh, caressing up and down slowly, and I think that, just like me, he would rather be alone, or working. He spreads his arm out on the couch behind me and draws me a little closer. He breathes heavily over the top of my head and lowers his mouth to my ear.
You're the hottest thing here, so stop scowling.
I laugh. I don't know anyone. I'm trying to determine if they're friend or foe.
My friends are your friends. My foes, your foes.
He winks, and I laugh as he starts pointing randomly.
Friend, foe, friend, foe.
Exhaling as I realize he wants me to know that I'm not in this alone, I scoot closer to him and breathe in his shirt, and I feel the others in the group watch us suspiciously. Our eyes meet in the dim light, through the music, the crowd, the drinks, and I'm transported to every evening he's looked at me like this before. In his townhouse, at his office, even in room 1103. But there's an edge to his stare that wasn't there before, an underlying hunger. In the dark, his features are classically perfect. His black button-down shirt is tailored for him. He looks incredible, smells incredible. He's flawless in this room. I keep stealing looks at him, and I inhale a sharp breath when he kisses the top of my head and calls a waiter to our table, ordering more drinks. Women flock to this table. There are 1,000 more beautiful women in this room, but in this moment, I feel like I'm the only one. Hilton stands and makes a speech, thanking everyone for being here on his birthday.
Ian, this is for you for coming to the party.
The girls on Hilton's side of the table wiggle their hands under their tops and take off their bras and toss them in the air, and my mouth almost pops open in surprise, but thank God I contain myself. Sounds and jeers emanate from all over the room. His lips curl in mild amusement,
but his hand moves on my thigh, as if telling me I'm the one, and his eyes lower to rest on me and no one else. Yet I'm entranced as the girls begin to give a little show, dancing together, shimmying their rears. I look at them moving, seducing, the look of rapture on the guys' faces while Ian turns to look at me almost with the same rapture. I feel his inky eyes on my profile, and I want to drive him crazy like that.
I can make them stop,
he tells me, quiet but a tad amused. No, I'm wishing I could dance like that for you right now. The amusement fades from his eyes. He shifts. He's so big, and his presence so overpowering. He's an expert at helping me become invisible when he shields me with his shoulders.
You don't need to dance like that for me here.
Just blush for me the way you do, he says, smiling at me. He slips his hand under my dress to the top of my thigh. I'm glad it's dark, the light focused on the dancers, because I'm starting to color bright red. I raise my hands and stroke his hair at the collar of his shirt, caressing it. He kisses my throat and shoves the necklace I'm wearing to the side. Then he dips his tongue there, to my pulse point. I nuzzle into the top of his head and melt into the sofa. His eyes smolder. He caresses his hand down my back and nudges me closer until my body is nestled against his. He lowers his head to brush his lips over my mouth, then moves them to feather over my ear.
You've been throwing fire at me all night. I know exactly what to do to quench that.
My arms clench around his neck, and my body presses closer. His hands spread on my back, and he drops a hot kiss on the back of my hair and flattens me to his chest until we're almost one. He lowers his hands to hold my hip bones and dips his head and kisses down my neck, to my collarbone, my shoulders, down to the nook under my necklace, and back up. His lips roam over my jaw to my ear, and then they head to my mouth. Aching all over, I let my hands wander up the muscles of his back, and he takes my wrists and pulls my hands up above my head to rest on the backrest of the booth. He interlaces our fingers and starts to kiss my lips, softly. I push upward to feel him, rubbing my breasts against his flat chest. I need, God, I gasp in his ear. He expels a breath, trying to control himself. He loves foreplay, but this time it feels like we're both too wound up. He cups my face and turns my head to kiss me, deeply and passionately, and though I can tell he's trying to be gentle, I can taste the violence in his kiss.
Hey, girlfriend. Hey, I bet you can't do this.
One of the girls shakes her ass to show me.
Just because I'm sitting on it right now doesn't mean I can't use it, I flash back as I pull away from Ian.
Oh, well, let's see.
My head is spinning. Did I offer that? Hell yes, I did. After his kisses, I don't feel like the black swan. I feel like the white one. Ian reaches up to sip his drink, and finding it empty, calls the waiter and tells him,
straight up on the rocks.
Ian can tell us how well we rate, huh?
The girls insist. I look at him, and he's leaning back, looking at me as he continues with his delicious caresses on my knee.
All right.
I stand and climb up onto the table, kick off my heels, and slowly, without looking at anyone but Ian, I start to dance to How Deep Is Your Love by Calvin Harris. I move a little, turn my ass one way and then the other. I laugh, and though I'm not dancing ballet, I know how to move, and I notice nobody is looking at me. They're looking at Ian. And Ian sits there, immobile, his eyes so fiery and bright he almost looks mad. His eyes crawl up and down my body hungrily, and the little bit of inhibition that remains is nearly gone as I feel the high of Ian wanting me. I'm putty, and I don't know why, or maybe I do. Because I love him. Because I've loved him for a while, no matter how much I tried ignoring it. He looks into my honeyed eyes, outlined by sooty lashes that I spiked up tonight with the mascara I used on our way here as I tried to dress up. I thought I was underdressed, I thought, when I saw the women in the club, that there was more than enough fabric covering my body. But now Ian looks like there's not enough.
Okay, I say, dropping down.
Don't flunk me, I warn, feeling a little high and reckless. I've never done that before.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Ian, one of the girls asks.
Whoa, Ian,
the guy with curly hair, who I realize must be Loki, says. Ian clenches his jaw and stares down at his fingers as he curls them into his hands, then uncurls them.
1 to 10?
He raises his eyebrows after a few heart-stopping seconds and says,
"She broke the scale."
Hilton cackles, and Ian leans over and spreads his arm around me, drawing me to his side in a familiar, both protective and possessive, way.
Hilton whistles. Ian doesn't buy companies or buy the stock. He either owns it all or takes no part in it.
Ian whispers in my ear, his voice husky.
Are you going to dance like this for me in private tonight?
The sharp, clean smell of his soap envelops me, weakens me. My senses are on Ian Ford overload. I nod, and he groans as his mouth opens on mine. I press myself to him and let him get my lipstick all over his lips. A dozen people come talk to him, and though he scrapes the back of his hand over his lips, I love seeing the tiny feminine mark of my coral lipstick on the corner of his sexy mouth.
Ian, what's that? Ian, how about that?
A lot of them are women.
Are you filming in the city?
Some women blatantly come up to offer to see him later tonight, but he whispers a negative and sends them on their way. I blush from where I sit.
Men like him won't ever marry again. Not after what his ex did.
He's looking for someone to get over the wife, don't you think? The cougar is telling Loki. Ian covers my ear with one hand and draws me to his chest, his eyes concerned but comforting.
Tomorrow, they'll have someone else to skewer.
But tonight, it's me. His lips look swollen from all our kissing, and I can feel his lust for me swirling around us.
Did you know you were this popular?
He laughs.
Did you?
What does it matter?
I don't understand why, when you had all these women available, you chose me to be the one to fuck in room 1103.
He frowns.
Let's take this outside.
He comes to his feet and helps me up to mine, and the watching crowd steps aside as he leads me to the pair of velvet curtains that open to the terrace.
Where are we going?
To be alone for a while.
I haven't even finished my drink.
He tugs me outside, and I gasp at how pretty it is, with the balcony overlooking a waterfall wall, surrounded by what could only be a forest of trees, in the middle of New York.
This is surreal, I say, and when he doesn't reply, I turn to find Ian standing a few feet away, looking at me.
Need explodes in my stomach when my eyes meet his onyx ones. He eases us against a nearby pillar, fingers digging deliciously into my hip, and drags me up against him until we're flush.
I didn't pick you. I wasn't even looking for you. But here you are, kitten, and I want you.
I grab his shoulders as he slides a hand up and into my hair and opens my mouth with his. Breaths mingle. His kiss is possessive, determined.
I lick my lips when we stop. Is this casual to you?
He raises his brows at my question. Maybe it's not an appropriate time to have this conversation, but I need to know if those women were right, if he's using me. Or if my body and my heart know the truth, and there's more between us than what my brain can possibly understand.
I'm having a lot of fun with you, I begin. How do I even phrase it? How do I say, I don't want you to break my fucking heart, you stupid sexy man?
I'm having a lot of fun too.
Sex with you is amazing. Euphoric. Out of this fucking world. I've never been so in love with a guy's dick. It's perfect. Gorgeous. Thick and...
I get it. You like my dick. That's not what I wanted to hear,
he says,
seizing my shoulders in his warm grip and pulling my face back to his.
I know you tremble. Hell, I've never liked to fuck someone so much. I like fucking, yes, but with you, it's a whole other level, Sarah.
What level?
What level? He sounds exasperated. Every fucking level. I want you, Sarah. You, not just your pussy.
I laugh and flush, shaking my head. I'm sorry I went on about your unbelievable...
That's okay. My dick liked it. And I'm very glad you like my dick. But I want to know how you feel about me.